So we're going to enjoy praying, Ainsley and I. We'll at least have two of us. And it's all about this year. We're taking a look at something, and this is our theme for this year, and it's entitled, here we go, Giving Christ More in 2024. That's our theme, Giving Christ More in 2024. You know, last year we did go the extra mile. Well, this year, two things are happening. First, it rhymes, praise the Lord. Secondly, so many of you are in the habit of what it is to just surrender your lives to Christ. And what I like about it is that many of you have given your lives to Jesus in a more pronounced way this year, 2023. So this should be a no-brainer, man. I'm all in. Whatever God wants, I'm going to do it. Amen. And so that is we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. And then we're going to pray about it. And then I'm going to highlight this message by asking for some short and sweet testimonies from you. And what would that testimony consist of? One thing that you gave to God and how he gave back after you gave to God. That's it. That's the testimony. We don't have time to build a dramatic drum roll. You just got to tell us what you gave and how God ministered that back to you. We're looking to build faith. We're looking to have that happen. So as we take a look at this, naturally, some of you actually got a hold of me when I did not tell a joke last Sunday. I could not believe it. So here's one for you. It's a cute one. It's one of my all-time end of the holidays, and we'll go for it. Heard about this senior citizen. She said, I've got to work off the holiday cheer. I'm going to join the aerobics for seniors. So she did, and her friend picked her up and said, well, how did the class go? She says, well, I'm not too sure. I went about jumping and gyrating and jumping up and down, bending over and shaking, and by the time I got my leotards on, the class was over. All right, well, there you go. But don't stop. Don't stop. We're going to take a look at something here. And before we even open the word of the Lord, I just have three verses I'm going to share. We're just going to talk a little bit about this. We're introducing the theme. I know you have a bulletin card on hand. This is the start of our series going into this new year of 2024. So we'll pick this up next week or maybe part number two. Who knows? The Spirit of the Lord will lead us on that. But I feel we want to just highlight what God is going to promise you, what God's going to promise us. That's what I want to highlight. So, Father, we want to thank you for your goodness today. And, Lord, what a sweet situation we have here. We have enjoyed the natural environment of just gifts, giving and receiving. But, Lord, we're believing it's now between you and us where we get a chance to give and receive. Lord, we're going to ask something wonderful, foundational, all-encompassing, miraculous happens to those who walk with you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. We're taking a look here. It's interesting to note, if you see on that theme, giving Christ more. Now, I know many of you are very generous. You're very much givers, and we're not talking about financial. I'm going to tell you, whenever a pastor talks about giving finances to the church, people just kind of trip out until you understand how the kingdom of God rolls. This is a kingdom of God principle. Giving Christ, and now we're talking more. When? In 2024. But the theme scripture is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Now look at the line. It's very small there, but it literally says this, give, comma, and you will receive. We are going to tag that as a promise to ourselves, what God has said. And Jesus talked about this. He mentioned something very clear, and you can see now, if we go back, thank you, to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said this, give and you will receive. your gift will return to you in full. How much?
Full.
In full. Pressed down, shaken together, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back.
Amen.
Now, that is printed in the Word, but that's something that's going to be unique to Hope Chapel. We know anybody can come along, and when we talk about Scripture, if you've been with us in our discipleship classes, you know we recognize this as Logos, the Word of God, and that God breathed. Matter of fact, we could literally say this Word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we could literally say this is the closest thing to God, and it is God, that you and I can have. So why not get into your Bible reading? But when we take a look at the fact that the whole Scripture is ours, and you've heard me say it's filled with over 3,000 promises, all of them good. There are some promises that God says, listen, if you do this, this is not a good thing that will happen to you. Don't do it, like eat that fruit. So there's just promises in the Word of God. And this is one of those promises. If we take a look at it, that Logos becomes Rhema. It like pops off the page and like, man, I know what God is saying here. God is saying something, and I completely see what he's saying. Feels like my whole life is a setup for this promise. Give, comma, and you will receive. What does that look like? And he lays it out here so clearly in the Scriptures when he says, your gift will return to you in full, but it comes back in a way that does not quite look the same way. You can see it pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. To make room for more. It's going to come back in a way that you didn't anticipate. It's not going to be the same, but it's going to be more, and it's going to be made room for more. And the thing that's been a challenge for Ainsley and me is to always be ready to never say we settled. I want to get into a mindset that says, Lord, everything in my life is yours. Anything you want, I'm willing to give. So no hold bar, but there are times that I do wrestle with saying, but what about me? If I give this up, what will happen? Those thoughts come. It certainly is a challenge of my human flesh, especially when the works of darkness come. You can imagine when, if I were to go into partnership with unbelievers, Scripture says don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I make a covenant or a contract with them. They say, I don't want to give that. Boy, that's a tough thing. I'm wanting to go. And all of a sudden you hear, no, stay. Especially when people are so bent on giving their lives to God and ministry and go onto the foreign soil. But they marry into somebody that says, no, I'm called to become a postal serviceman. It's a challenge. Those things happen. But what is God speaking to you or to me? My whole life has been one, and I'm so grateful. I think I married into a young lady named Ainsley that's much more generous than me. I'm grateful for that. She challenges me, and she has done that. I think we've benefited in every way because of our approach, and even Hope Chapel. Hope Chapel, that DNA is on us. That's why we, as a church, we tithe to Foursquare to plant other churches. We give to, and beyond that 10%, we give to missions. We just realize that that's just something that we do. Last I heard, we have given $140,000 to missions. And so maybe by the end of today, we could say, well, let's go to 160, maybe 200,000, because somebody just says, I want to just trust the Lord on this. Pretty exciting when we think about that, because we know something when somebody says, I'm going to give. We could see here it says your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So I just want to add, for our own little highlight, is that when I say our highlight, not only as a church, because we've planted churches out of this church, we've released missionary families. We've allowed people who planted churches to ask anybody they want to go help plant that church. And that the Lord has been so gracious to allow us to see, make room for more. You can see we've got this wonderful chapel that can only fit so many people. And we're probably ready to launch another church, which Beyond Surfers Church. But those are just part of our conversations about what Jesus says, your gift will return to you. I love that, but that's our theme. Giving to Christ more in 2024. So that's what Hope Chapel is all about. It is not something that is foreign to us as a church. The word more might require us as a church to consider what that would look like. We'll trust the leading of the Holy Spirit on that. I do know one of the things about verse 38 that I've told Ainsley, and she mentioned that over time, that, for example, the element of finances, that if I were to just give finances and get finances back, if that is all there is to it, I have told God I feel I would be ripped off. I do not want money back. I want everything. I want my family to do well. I want my kids to serve Jesus. I want you, my wonderful, joyful expression of the flock of Jesus, to do well. Those are things like, Lord, I do not want to be the barricade from them to be blessed. So I'll give, but I want much more in return than just money back. I do not. Money does not move me now. It helps. I've been poor and I've been rich. Hey, rich is better. Just want to throw that out there. So it's important that we get a chance to see and to do those things. It's going to be important. So you can see here, one of the things that I think our theme will help us on, giving to Christ more, giving to Christ more. So if you get a chance now, and may the Lord by his Holy Spirit help you to realize, whatever you give, you must approach it as, I'm giving this to Christ. That has been my breakaway and a breakthrough. If you are still thinking, well, you know, that ministry doesn't need it, and church is all about people, and I don't think it's just people, I won't give. You don't catch the theme of the scriptures. We want to give to Christ more. Well, what if I give to that ministry over there and they abuse it? Well, that's on them. They'll answer for that. But you give with a heart as unto the Lord. That's the beauty of that. So let me just take a look with you now in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Scripture says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto what? As to the Lord. Now just take a look at that phrase there. Whatever you do. Now we're just talking our theme here. But may God transfer our thinking to saying, I'm just giving it to an organization. I'm just giving it to a charitable deed. I just need a write-off. Oh, man, you're going to miss out on the blessing of giving to Christ. So the scripture says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the what? The reward of the inheritance. Scripture goes on, for you serve the Lord Christ. Who are you serving? Man, we're serving Jesus. So I'm just talking to believers now. Maybe you're kind of searching out where your life and where your posture, where your own motto is, where your goal, vision is. But I want to encourage us, we serve the Lord Christ. So whatever we do, Scripture says, whatever we give, whatever we say, I want to do it as unto Christ. See, my mindset starts to shift. And then it becomes a very happy interaction. Where do I give to you, Jesus? Oftentimes it looks just like to mere people. But we do know the church is a big deal to Jesus because he's the one that built it. He's the one that named us. He's the one that protects us. He He's the one that told the early disciples, upon that confession, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Jesus named us. Jesus says, I'm going to build you, and I'm going to protect you. So we're in good arms. But take a look at this, and it says, for you serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25, but he who does wrong will be rewarded for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Now, I like that, and there's a couple of places in Scripture, quite a bit, where God says, I don't play favorites. So I take this now to say, man, everybody can play this one. Everybody will benefit from this promise of Scripture. Give to Christ more. What's exciting about that, or you can write down 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, says that God is a Father who, without partiality. So just, it should be very, very reassuring to us to think that maybe I think God likes that person more than me, because look at all he has, or look at all she's accomplished. And I just feel very embarrassed about myself, or maybe jealous, or I want to covet that. We know those things are not healthy. But God is not partial. He loves us all equally. Oh, he loves us so much. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, this is your year. This is your year. This is your year. The Luke 6:38, give, comma, and you will receive. Give, comma, and you will receive. And we're going to be taking a look at things in ways of just going a little bit further with Jesus. What's important for us is to be able to enjoy that element, to be freed up, and to not be fearful. I want to highlight in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It's another one of those promises in Galatians 6, 7, where it says this, don't be deceived or misled. I've got another translation, but it says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We'll read that one on your screen. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So with that, that element, that word deceived, there's a principle here in Scripture, the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping in Galatians 6. If you're a farmer, it's a no-brainer. You always plant one season and you harvest the results in another season. So for you who are new in Jesus, this could be a great setup for you, because you start to plant things, do things, install things, and then you're going to benefit in another season. Yes, sir. What I find working with young, new Christians is that oftentimes they are still paying the price of a promiscuous life, and that they wonder why God hasn't delivered them from the residue of their past hangouts. But they continue, just basically, we tell them, you're just kind of reaping something that happened years ago. But hang in there. Hang in there. Turn that tide around and start to sow some good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you'll see your life turn around. You will see your life turn around. So you sow something one season and you pick it up another season.
Amen.
So don't be deceived too. I think we could all take a look at things that we wish we could go back and change. Wish we wouldn't have done that. Wish we didn't associate with that group. But we did. And God saved us. How many would say God saved your bacon, even when you made some poor choices and hung out with the wrong? Oh, my goodness. Isn't the Lord glorious? Huh? And look where you are. You're in Hope Chapel today. Man. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we want to just remind you two things today as we just kind of wrap this message up and go into testimonies. Remember, whatever you give, as we go on in the weeks ahead, remember you're doing this as unto Christ. Be careful about ripping yourself off by saying, I'm just giving it to mere mortals. I'm just giving it to a person. Watch out for that. Watch out for that. The other thing is, remember, Christ does reward. He does. Don't ever think that the Lord, our Savior, will ever be stingy with you. It might come back in a way you don't anticipate. Luke 6:38 says that men will give back to you, but remember, it's always going to be Jesus. It's always going to be Jesus. Lord, thank you. You use that person. You use that setting. You use that sweepstakes. I don't know. That lottery ticket. Watch out. But God has a way of blessing. And you could always just say, it came through the Lord. It came through the Lord. A little story for Ainsley and me. And we could count on the many, many ways that we stepped out in faith. And here's a couple of them. It started off when we were really struggling in Banning, and the church was barely pulling in maybe $900. And I remember praying in the altar. The church was a whopping 24 people. And that time, I felt like the Lord whispered, Paul, would you be willing to sell your investment? That investment was producing $800 a month for us. And naturally, I said, yes, I would, Lord. And he said to me, then why don't you at least tithe on that? And I wasn't tithing because I said I needed that whole $800. Well, I didn't want to sell the investment. And I said, Lord, I'm happy to tithe on that money. Yes, sir. So I started tithing on that. And it's amazing what he did with the balance of the 720. And the rest is history. There's another thing that Ainsley and I, and I didn't ask for permission on this, but we've had, I'll rearrange that one because I probably need to. We've often felt like in Luke chapter 2, and when Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus, the Old Testament principle, you brought in an offering to God when you dedicated your child. We remember that we don't know about our own children doing that, but it was a principle for us with our grandchildren. We gave early on $500 to really a particular ministry felt ministered to children. And $500 when a child, grandchild of ours, was born. Now, that was big money in that time, and it became bigger because we didn't anticipate 12 grandchildren. So stop. You know, it always seemed to come at the time like, well, let's. But it's always been something, Lord, we're so grateful that these little babies are healthy. Yes. And they're a part of our posterity. Amen. And we want them to know you. Yes. And we thank God for you. So there's been different ways with which we have presented things to the Lord. We do it as unto the Lord. It's been a delight to see what God does. That's why when we talk about giving Christ more in 2024, we're so excited for you who would start to be moved by the Holy Spirit to think about, I'm going to give this, my time, my attention, my talent to the Lord. You do that as unto the Lord and watch how your giving will come back to you. That's going to be our wonderful joy and challenge this coming year. I'm so thrilled for that. You're going to see ways, and it's not just about finance. It's not just, we're taking a look at things that we're feeling. The Lord would like to say, it's now time to move you more in that area. Wouldn't it be great? Who knows? Maybe some of you might be our next church planter. Who knows? But what a great, great setting. We do know this. Wouldn't it be wonderful that you were to give God the first hour of the new year? So I've never done that. I don't know if that'll work. I don't know if I can focus. It would be wonderful just to try. We found giving God the first fruits, first things, always produces, always. But I go at it with a mindset, Lord, it's as unto you. Well, let me just pray right now for our theme. Pray for us. Father, we want to thank you. We know this, You are a very generous God. You have breathed into each one of us the breath of life. And for so many of us, you have breathed into us eternal life because we believe in Jesus. So, Lord, thank you. May our theme this year do more to bring glory and honor to you than we could ever have imagined, because we cannot help talking about the things of God. So, Lord, take our mindset off of us, what we should be entitled to, what we would anticipate this time for ourselves. But, Lord, as we think about expressions beyond ourselves, as unto you, Lord, we know this. We consecrate ourselves to you, and we know that you will fulfill your word. You will fulfill your promise. And while we're praying, let's just add this. Maybe there are some of you who have never given your life to Jesus. Would you pray with me to surrender your life to Christ? What would that look like? You're just going to believe that he died on the cross for you, that he rose to life for you, and that salvation is offered by saying, Lord, forgive me and come into my life. That prayer goes just like this. Let's pray it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. That you are the Son of God, that you died for me, that you rose to life for me, and I confess to you now that I have sinned against you and against others. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. You prayed that prayer. We certainly want to just get you right in, help nurture and disciple and experience this great grace of God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or recommitted your life, it would be sure wonderful just to acknowledge that. Would you just raise your hand and say, you know what, I prayed that prayer and I acknowledge the Lord for the first time. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Anyone else want to just thank you? Praise God. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, and as well. So we're going to just thank the Lord for these two hands. And if you didn't raise your hand, don't worry about that. Don't let the enemy say, see, you can't even share anything about me. Don't do that. We know how the enemy lies, man. He'll try to keep you in a closet, lock you up. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just tell somebody it came with you and say, you know what? I prayed that prayer. And I just want you to know that I'm a little embarrassed to kind of say too much. God knows. God knows. We'll be having a water baptism soon, and that will really give you an opportunity. How about it? Can we just thank the Lord for the Lord God? Well, hey, I want to, I took all the testimony time, but let's just see what the Lord might do. Let's just stand to our feet. We'll sing a song, and we'll reassemble here and see how far we can go, okay? I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you.
We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.